On today's Fresh Air, Donovan joins us with his guitar to talk about his life.
If there's one person in public radio who's famous for doing interviews, it's Terry Gross. As the host of Fresh Air for over 20 years, she's interviewed the biggest names around. Politicians and actors, writers and musicians. Terry now has a book out called All I Did Was Ask. It's a collection of some of her most memorable interviews. Steve Paulson found Terry Gross at the publishing industry's big event, Book Expo America. They sat down together and talked about the art of interviewing and what it means to be a radio personality.
I've never tried to be a personality. I've never tried to, like, create a persona for myself. I guess I am who I am. And I don't know where that fits, but I just act myself, basically. But it's a different version of myself. It's like the Fresh Air version of myself. In the sense that when I'm interviewing somebody, my job is to bring them out, to shine the light on them. And I don't talk about myself very much. There's not that much back and forth. I don't share my anecdotes and my version of the story. Whereas in a friendship, in a conversation like in a friendship, I talk a lot more than I do on Fresh Air.
Have you ever felt pressured to reveal more of yourself on air?
No. In fact, people tell me that they appreciate the fact that it's not all about me. I have been interviewed by people. God, I was once interviewed by somebody, and we were talking about the fact that I was fired from teaching before I got into radio. And I told him what I thought was, like, my kind of funniest, most horrible story, and he said, "That's nothing. Let me tell you what happened to me." And I thought, okay, this is a competition. Nothing I'm going to tell him is going to be as funny as he thinks he is, or as dramatic as he thinks he is. So it was an awful feeling to feel like I was just competing with the interviewer.
Why did you get fired for teaching?
I was awful, I think, was
to put it bluntly.
It. Yeah.
Who were you teaching?
I was teaching at Genesee Humboldt Junior High, which is Buffalo, New York's, at that time, this was like 73, it was Buffalo, New York's toughest inner city junior high school. And I was just out of college. I'm really short, so the kids looked much older than I looked. And I didn't know how to be an authority figure. So I couldn't even keep the kids in the classroom. You know, it was a disaster in every way, and they fired me, and they did me a great favor. That's how I stumbled into radio. Mm.
Now, in the introduction to your book, you talk about how most of the time you prefer not to do an interview face-to-face. You like to have the guests off somewhere where you don't have eye contact. Tell me why.
Well, it's not that I prefer it long distance. It's just that I don't mind it long distance. The advantages of doing it that way, there's a couple. One is that I can look at my notes. I don't have a great memory. So I've worked hard at those notes, and I really want to use them. And Steve, I don't know if you go through this, but I feel like if I stop making eye contact, the guest is going to think I'm not paying attention.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. I have notes in front of me here, and I'm sort of, at a certain point, I know I have to shift from page one to page two.
Yeah,
You know, will that break the flow?
Exactly. And I was, tell me if you worry about this. I always worry that the guest is going to think I'm not paying attention if I'm not looking at them. So if I look at my notes and I really need to look at them, then they might think, well, she's not even hearing what I'm saying.
Because I was wondering if you see a difference between, I guess, the more political interviews, the one where you might need to ask the tougher questions, the more adversarial questions. And from my experience, that's often easier to do when you don't see them. But on the other hand, the more personal interviews where you're just trying to get the guest to open up, I'm wondering if you sometimes find that easier in person.
Well, first of all, I want to say ditto on asking the tough question in the political interview. It's much easier to do. If you have a streak of cowardice in you, as I believe I do, it's much easier to ask tough questions when you're not looking the person in the eye. And when they can't stare you down, when they can't try to visually intimidate you. So, yeah, I agree with you completely on that. And in the personal interviews, I don't know, there's something about having that space. That leads to something else, too, which is that a couple of times I've interviewed, you know, really famous, wonderful actors, like real like movie star types in person. And at least once I thought like, oh wow, this is really going well. This is really going well. And when I listened back to the tape, when that famous movie star wasn't sitting across from me anymore, it wasn't nearly as interesting. Hmm. And so when I'm just doing it as audio, when the person isn't in the room, I can really evaluate much more objectively whether this is a good radio show or not.
Hmm. So you, in a way, you might get sucked into
exactly.
their aura.
Precisely. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to say that when I was telling people on my staff that I was going to talk to you, I was asking them, so what should I ask Terry Gross? And they were all personal questions. It was, is she married?
I don't mind answering that.
Yeah, and one of the questions was, you know, I heard a rumor that she once thought about becoming a nun or something like that. And
becoming a nun?
Don't ask me where that came from. I don't know. The rumor mill, but you seem to elicit that kind of response. I mean, people want to know who's the real Terry Gross.
Well, that's so funny because, you know, first of all, like, I don't practice any religion, but, you know, I'm Jewish.
A nun is not exactly what's not.
I certainly, of the things I've never considered in my life, becoming a nun is probably at the very top of the list. I am married, and my husband's a music critic. His name is Francis Davis, and he writes books about jazz usually.
Do you get uncomfortable talking about yourself in interviews?
I used to. When I started, like the first few times I was interviewed, I felt like I didn't want to say anything about myself because I wanted somebody listening to think I wanted to be a nun. I wanted people to think, like, whatever you want me to be, that's who I am. You think I'm tall? I'm tall. You think I'm really gorgeous? I'm drop-dead beautiful. You think I wanted to be a nun? Yeah.
Have you worked in television?
A little bit.
How has that felt for you?
Less comfortable than radio for a couple of reasons. First of all, sometimes there was somebody like in my earphone saying, smile, come on, smile a little bit. And God, I hate it when people tell me to smile. And sadly, I have the kind of face that when I'm thinking, I look like I'm depressed. I'm not like your perfect camera ready personality.
Now, over the years, you've had a few kind of well-publicized interviews that didn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was with Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, see, I wanted to ask her about some of the things I felt she and her husband hadn't adequately addressed when they were in the White House, such as AIDS. Why did it take the president so long to acknowledge the existence of AIDS? And when he did, why was he so clueless? Homelessness. Why did it increase so much in the Reagan years? Her Just Say No campaign. And every time I asked her one of those questions, she would say, have you read my book? I just want to talk about my book. I don't want to talk about politics.
And was this when her husband was still president?
No, it was after. And I thought, that's just really sad, you know, that like a former first lady wouldn't even talk about her Just Say No campaign. And besides, that's what the book was about. And I was thinking, like, she didn't even read her book. You know, she kept saying to me, did you read my book? I wanted to say, did you read your book? Then I wanted to say, did you write your book? Because it was ghostwritten.
Did that interview air?
Yeah, in a very highly edited, shortened version. We thought of not airing it, actually.
Have there been some very high-profile interviews that you've done where you couldn't air it or you felt like you couldn't?
Yes, there were definitely interviews. My interview with Lou Reed never aired because he walked out before he said it. I mean, he had always been on my list of the people I most wanted to interview, and he walked out, you know, pretty early on without ever giving an answer that was worth broadcasting.
Was there some question in particular that offended him?
Everyone that I asked. beginning with, he had just, I forget what the name of the album was, but it was a new CD whose lyrics all seemed to be about personal transformation in midlife. And so I asked him about that, and he said, oh, are you middle-aged? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, what can I ask you about your life? You know, how does it feel for you to be middle-aged? And I said, well, you know, you don't know me. You don't really care about my life, you know. So, but I care about your life, so that's why I asked you. And we just kind of went on like that.
Now, speaking of musicians, you have included in your book your interview with
Gene Simmons
of Kiss. That was kind of a weird interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And this is Gene Simmons of Kiss, and in case our listeners don't know who Gene Simmons is, Kiss is that band that in the 70s was kind of like a heavy metal band for preteeners. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, and they all painted their faces and dressed up in strange costumes.
Right, and wore like black and white face paint. And I've met so many really good indie rock people who grew up with Kiss and who love Kiss, so it's just really interesting. But anyways, Gene Simmons is famous for being obnoxious and testy, and I didn't quite know how much so when I decided to interview him after his memoir came out. And the things he said to me shocked me. And he said to me things like, I'm afraid if you want to welcome me with open arms, you'll also have to welcome me with open legs. People don't usually talk to me that way on the show.
But you had a good comeback, as I recall.
Well, my comeback was something like, that's a really obnoxious thing to say. Because I was dumbfounded, and I thought, what is an interviewer's response to something like that? And I thought, The only thing I can think of is exactly what I'm thinking, which is, that's a pretty obnoxious thing to say. So we sounded like school children, just kind of like taunting each other. It was so unpublic radio. It was the most unpublic radio interview that's ever been on our show. I really have a great affection for that interview because it forced me to do things that I never do in interviews and to really think on my feet in a different kind of way.
Now, recently you had a more controversial interview with Bill O'Reilly, the TV talk show host. Tell me what happened there.
Well, we had interviewed him after interviewing Al Franken. This was a year ago. Al Franken's book came out, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, and there was a whole chapter in it about O'Reilly. And O'Reilly, who's never heard Fresh Air and who never heard the Al Franken interview, kept saying, did you treat Al Franken this way? You didn't treat Al Franken this way. Because Al Franken's a satirist, so I was asking him questions about his book, which is very funny, and asking him questions about satire. O'Reilly is one of the most opinionated and toughest interviewers in the country. He's made his reputation and his fortune being really tough and challenging, sometimes being rude. And so I wanted to ask him about that. And he acted like, how could I possibly ask him questions like this? And so it was really interesting to me because I thought either he's remarkably thin-skinned and the classic example of you can dish it out but you can't take it, or this was just a big act to get attention to prove, because one of the things I think he wanted to set out to prove was that public radio is one-sided and public radio is liberal.
And some people have interpreted that as, I mean, basically he set you up. He was waiting for you to ask tough questions so he could walk out and he could say, you know, here's another example of NPR's liberal bias and don't support it with tax money.
I think that is very possible.
But there is another side to it. I mean, that interview generated a lot of discussion in public radio, and you got raked over the coals by some people, including the NPR ombudsman, Jeffrey Dvorkin, who basically said that you were a lot tougher on O'Reilly than Franken, and he accused you of carrying Al Franken's water.
That's right, and I thought it was a very kind of provocative column provocative in the good sense, that it provoked a lot of discussion. But I disagree with him. I thought that I was doing a satirist interview with a satirist and asking tough questions to the person who made his reputation being tough and who is very opinionated on his show. And if he can't take a few challenging questions, then he's really awfully thin-skinned.
Now, you've been doing Fresh Air for a long time now, many years.
Yeah.
Do you go through periods of burnout?
Yes. Absolutely.
What do you do then?
Well, the paradox in my life is that the thing that burns me out is also the thing that revives me, because when I feel really burned out, all I need is like one really wonderful show and I'll feel like, okay, I'm back.
Do you sometimes have kind of in the back of your mind, I mean, you have a great job, but I don't know, fantasies of an alternative career or something like that ever, if for some reason you wanted to do something else?
I really love my work. And, you know, there are a lot of people, including in public radio, who secretly want to write a novel. I don't. I mean, my goal in life has just always been to work a little bit less. You know, to just find a way of opening up the door a little more to life and working a little less. But it's not like there's something else I really want to do. I love radio and I love my work.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
NPR's Terry Gross, talking with Steve Paulson at Book Expo in Chicago. Terry's book is called All I Did Was Ask.